3 through chapter 3, verse 6. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. Let us give our attention to God's Word. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him? And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.' And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. And they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. So when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him." And thus we end the reading of God's Word. Beloved in Christ, Jesus, our Savior, is Lord of the Sabbath. This he pronounces and proves in these passages of Scripture that the Gospel writer Mark gives to us. We have seen that the Lord Jesus has already been attacked by his enemies. He has been challenged. He's been challenged for his action of eating with the outcasts of society. He's been challenged about the subject of fasting and why his disciples would not fast at that time. And now he's going to be challenged on the idea of the observance of the Sabbath. When we come to the New Testament era, the doctrine of the Sabbath in the Scriptures had been added to and expanded a great deal by the scribes and Pharisees. And when we look at several passages in the Gospels in regard to the Sabbath, sometimes people get the idea that Jesus was quite negative about it. What Jesus was negative about was the additions to the law that the scribes and Pharisees had made. And we have to make that distinction and be careful about our interpretation of the Sabbath in the New Testament. Jesus demonstrates here that he is Lord of the Sabbath. First of all, the Lord of the Sabbath established the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was established by the Lord in the beginning. We read about this in Genesis chapter 2. God had created everything that is in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested and made that day special and holy, and it was declared by him to be the Sabbath day. And then the Lord gave us a commandment about this day, the fourth commandment, excuse me, which we read of in Exodus chapter 20, in which he stipulated very clearly that we are to observe that one day in seven. These stipulations were not done away with by the coming of Christ into this world, nor were any of the Ten Commandments. This is the one commandment that Christians, even evangelical Christians, try to get out of. This is the one commandment that it's not liberal Christians we can point our finger at and say, "Here you go, trying to tamper with the Word of God again." This is the one commandment that even evangelical conservative Christians want to get out of today. Now I ask you, does it make a whole lot of sense to say that God gave us 10 commandments and the other 9 are binding, but this one isn't? That in itself doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's where a lot of people stand today. We know that the day that was designated for the 1 in 7 to be the special day has changed from Saturday to Sunday. This was done in the first century. It was practiced by the early New Testament church. Now, we're aware that Acts 2:46 says that the early Christians met every day. Acts 2:46, that was at the beginning with the excitement of the early New Testament church. It is true that they met daily. But it is also true that by this time, even, Sunday had already become a special day. We are told in the Gospels, in particular, for example, Matthew 28, verse 1, that it was on Sunday, the first day of the week, that our Lord arose from the dead. And Sunday worship is a celebration of the resurrection. Every Sunday's worship, not just the Sunday that we sometimes call Easter, but every Sunday. That's why we celebrate on that day. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 is one scripture reference that gives us a clue to this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, in the town of Troas, the believers gathered to break bread on the first day of the week. Is that by coincidence? Well, when we put it together with other scriptures, we don't think so. Like 1 Corinthians 16:2. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, the apostle instructed the Corinthians to set aside money on the first day of the week. The implication is that on this day, there was an offering. In fact, the word collections is used in that very verse of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:2. The apostle John says in Revelation 1, verse 10, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The use of the term Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10 shows that there was such a day with that particular designation. Of all the days of the week, there was one that was called the Lord's Day. Now, does John in Revelation 1:10 identify that day? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But we know from history that the early church in the first century was identifying that day as Sunday and has to this very day. So, the day that was designated as a special day is now Sunday of every week. The Lord of the Sabbath established the Sabbath day. Secondly, the Lord of the Sabbath allows works of necessity and mercy on the Sabbath. The two incidents that Mark gives us in this passage demonstrate that truth. Scripture allows works of necessity and mercy on the Sabbath. Our doctrinal standards use the terms necessity and mercy. Listen to the Shorter Catechism question 60. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all the day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercise of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. That's the Shorter Catechism question and answer 60. Now, this statement is quite restrictive in the view of most people today. Even most Christians view this to be a very strict interpretation as to how the Lord's Day should be observed. It says spending the whole time in public and private exercises of God's worship, except works of necessity and mercy. And so, quite frankly, most people have disregarded this. Even many, and perhaps most, of the Presbyterian and Reformed tradition have disregarded it. Our denomination has tried to maintain this commandment and our observance of it. We certainly have had our faults in doing so. But we do believe it. We do believe it is still scriptural, and we stand by what our standards say here. These passages of Scripture teach that Jesus allowed works of necessity and mercy. The first incident is the picking of grain on the Sabbath and eating it in chapter 2, verses 23 through 28, a work of necessity. The disciples were walking with Jesus through the grain fields, and they were hungry. It is true that Christ could have given them something to eat. After all, he did feed 5,000 men on one occasion. He certainly could have fed 12, but he chose not to do so at that point. And there was food available for them, and they were hungry, and so they were allowed to secure some food and to eat on the Sabbath. The Pharisees accused the disciples of breaking the Sabbath at this point. Now, it's important for you to know that the Jewish rabbis had drawn up a catalog of 39 principal works forbidden on the Sabbath. Now, people today think that we Orthodox Presbyterians are real picky about the Sabbath. Just think about this. The Jewish rabbis had drawn up a catalog of 39 principal works forbidden on the Sabbath. And of those 39, they were each divided into several categories themselves. Plucking heads of grain and rubbing them was considered reaping, harvesting. So they accused the disciples of breaking the Sabbath. Indeed, they did break that tradition. They did break the tradition of the scribes and Pharisees, yes. But that was something that was added to the law of God. The rabbis had buried the law of God. It was buried under rules and regulations that they had made. Jesus' disciples became hungry, and he allowed them to eat. And he explained by referring to David's eating of the consecrated bread in Old Testament times. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with the Sabbath? Well, what it has to do is that the showbread that David and his men took and ate at that time was not to be eaten but by the priests. And he showed that there was an exception there, even an exception to the very law of God, because of a necessity. And certainly, men can do works of necessity on the Sabbath day. So the disciples were violating a tradition of the Jews. They were not violating the Word of God. And Jesus reminds the hearers in verse 28, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Can you imagine the audacity of these scribes and Pharisees criticizing the Lord himself? Your disciples are breaking the Sabbath, and Christ reminds them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath. He brought it into being. He gave it to man. He makes the rules. And he certainly interprets them. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And no one has a right to criticize the deeds and teachings of Christ. So the first incident was the picking of grain, a work of necessity, which was allowed by the Lord Jesus. The second incident was the healing on the Sabbath, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, a work of mercy. Christ's opponents, in verse 2, watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. They were Pharisees, verse 6 tells us. And here was another direct challenge to him. There was a widely accepted rule at this time that healing was permissible on the Sabbath only where a man's life was in danger. This was another tradition of men that had been added to the Word of God. Jesus asked the question in verse 4. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And Jesus was angry in verse 5. He was angry. He was grieved by the hardness of their hearts. He was angered and grieved that men would have no more concern for a fellow human being who met up face to face with Jesus. Maybe this man would never see Jesus again. This would perhaps be his only opportunity to be healed. And the Pharisees could only think of their man-made tradition. And Jesus was angered at that, at their lack of devotion to the very Word of God and their lack of compassion for a fellow human being in need. He was angry at their sin. So, in verse 5 he says, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched it out and his hand was restored as whole as the other. The Pharisees then, in verse 6, we are told, were upset because they were more concerned about their own man-made tradition and their humiliation than they were the healing of a fellow human being in need. And they made plans with the Herodians to destroy Jesus at this point. And this is where opposition to Jesus intensifies. And for what? Because a group of men were more concerned about their own rules. You can see this was an ego trip. At least that's part of the problem. He teaches something different than we believe. That was part of what drove them to be against Jesus. And these Herodians were loyal supporters of Herod Antipas, and they had been enemies to the Pharisees, but enemies will even join together if they have a common enemy themselves. And they had a common enemy in Jesus. So these two enemies would get together to try to do away with Jesus. So the second incident was the healing of a man on the Sabbath, a work of mercy, which Jesus allowed. Thirdly, the Lord of the Sabbath has purposes for the Sabbath. Now, these go beyond the scope of these two passages, but they are implied by these two passages. The Lord of the Sabbath has purposes for the Sabbath. The two main purposes are rest and worship. This special day is for our rest and worship. Now, if I asked you who are here this morning if you needed some rest, you would all say yes, very enthusiastically. We all need our rest. And if I asked you this morning if you needed to worship, I'm sure that all of you here would say yes to that question too. We need that spiritual dimension to our lives. But it's interesting that passages like this are used for the very purpose of justifying recreation or work on the Lord's Day. Have you noticed that? And in particular, there's a scriptural phrase that's used. Scripture is quoted a lot more than people ever realize. There's a scriptural phrase that I heard used when I was growing up. Perhaps you have heard too. When you go do something on Sunday that you know you shouldn't do, and you're talking to somebody else about it, to justify yourself, you use the scriptural phrase, "the ox was in the ditch." Have you heard that one? Maybe not. Maybe you have. I used to hear that quite a bit. "Yeah, I was overdoing this on Sunday." Then there's kind of silence, you know. So you say, "Well, the ox was in the ditch." It comes from Luke 4, verse 5. Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 5, Luke 14, verse 5, Jesus said, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" If the animal is hurting on the Sabbath day, people had enough common sense to know that they could help their animal. And yet, when the Lord Jesus heals a man, they're angry. Well, we're very practical people in the 20th century. So when we see a verse like that, we can always justify our actions. Where were you yesterday? Oh, I was at the Yankee game. Oh, at the Yankee game on Sunday. Yeah, the ox was in the ditch. Somehow that doesn't fit, does it? Somehow that doesn't fit. What ox? What ditch? Where were you yesterday? I was working my second job. Got to pay for the boat. The ox was in the ditch. No. Doesn't work, does it? We like to use it that way. The Lord Jesus did not lessen or do away with the Sabbath. He did oppose the traditions of men, but He did not undo any of the Ten Commandments. Not even the fourth one. He did not undo that. And He gives us, as a purpose for the Sabbath, the purpose of rest. That's from the Old Testament, of course, in the fourth commandment itself. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is your day of rest. Now, understanding that there are necessities and works of mercy, this is the general rule. We have 6 days to do our work. It is rest for the body. The body needs rest. It is rest for the body. And one might say, well, Jesus didn't rest here. No, He didn't. And you very well know, and most people understand, that the work of the ministry is carried on Sunday, especially on Sunday. Of course. But the basic meaning of the word Sabbath is that of rest. Cessation, and God set the example for us when He ceased from His creative activity on the seventh day. So we rest and we cease from the things that we normally occupy ourselves with during the week. Normal recreation we set aside for that day. Cutting the grass we set aside. Shopping we don't do. And our regular job we don't do unless it's absolutely necessary for us to maintain the job and we have to pay our bills. Rest. We need that rest. But then there is the purpose also of worship. You notice that the Lord commands us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, holy, of course, refers to sacredness, something different, something set apart. Sunday's different when we don't work on that day. That's true. But it's also different when we do the different activity of public worship. We worship on that day. It is a day of rest, especially a day of spiritual rest, a day for us to delight in the Lord. You see, this day provides you with all the means of grace, the Word, the sacraments, and prayer, and this day itself is a means of grace to you. The day itself is a day of grace. It's a gospel day. It's a day of spirituality. It's a day not just for your body, but for your soul. It's a day of refreshment. You have the opportunity to hear the Word of God. It is food for your soul. The Lord is our shepherd. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. And one of the ways He does this is by feeding us on His Word on the Lord's day. forgetting the job, and forgetting the textbooks. If you're a student, you can graze in the pastures of the Word of God and have your soul refreshed in this day. So it's vitally important that we attend the worship services. It's vitally important that we use this day as much as we possibly can in religious exercise, both in public and in the family and in private. It's extremely important for the development of our spiritual life. On Sunday afternoons, if you don't know what to do, this is what some people complain about, being 20th century activists. This doesn't work. It's too inactive on Sunday to practice this. If you want something to do, read a good book on Sunday afternoon. There are hundreds and hundreds of Christian classics you can read, beginning with the Word of God itself. Read your scripture reading. Refresh yourself from the sermon. If my sermon was worth reflecting upon, reflect on it in the afternoon. Read a good Christian book. Fill your mind with those things which will feed you and help you. Keep the Sabbath day holy. And in order to do that, you're going to have to break a lot of old habits, probably, if you haven't established them already. You have to do things like check the gas gauge on the car on Friday night or Saturday and make sure you have fuel in your car if you're driving to church. You really don't want to be burdened with filling up your car on the Lord's Day. You want to have things ready for the Lord's Day. If you're going to shine your shoes, do that beforehand. Be ready for the Lord's Day. If you have things that need to be done around home, do as many as you can on Saturday, and what you have left to do, put it off until next week. You may say, I can't do that, it bothers me. Well, do it. Do it anyway. Learn to discipline yourself to do it. It's vitally important for you. The Lord gave us that command, and it's good for us, or He wouldn't have given it to us. Now, many people today are saying, I don't agree with this. That just doesn't fit in with my way of thinking. Well, there are a lot of things in the Bible that don't fit in with our way of thinking, and that's not the point. The point is, what does God say? If He says it, then that's what we're supposed to do. What matters is only that one thing. What does He say? Our purpose is not to satisfy ourselves on this day, but to please the Lord. And we find that when we please Him, we are most satisfied and happiest. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for man, He says, for our rest and spiritual nourishment, for our growth in grace, for our growth in likeness to Christ. And if there's anything that you should not neglect to do on the Lord's Day, don't neglect this. Don't neglect to meditate on the great work of redemption which your Savior did for you. This is the day He has set aside. Rise again on Sunday. Blessed day of days, Queen of days, height of our existence, happiest day. And say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen.